where we're heading in 2030 is going to be the decade of spiritual health awareness. And so we're, even for us who are having this conversation and for those that are listening to this, you're already ahead of the curve because, you know, we have 5 years to start reconnecting to our spiritual self. And what does that mean? I think that's a bigger rabbit hole we can go down. But I think just to keep it simple, it's just the connection to our deeper self, the higher version of ourself, the self that occupies more than just time and space.
Hello, I'm Deborah Rosman, and a warm welcome to our listeners of our At Heart podcast. Each month, I have the privilege of interviewing individuals who are contributing to the creation of a more heart-based world. And this month, I'm talking with Gordy Ball, who founded Conscious Thought Revolution, whose mission is to change the financial paradigm and measurably impact a billion lives by 2030 by redefining wealth and purpose. That's a big mission and vision. Gordy talks about money, not just as a challenging force for humanity, but as a transformative force that can elevate human consciousness. Welcome, Gordy.
Oh, thank you for having me, Debbie. It's a pleasure to be connected with you in this way.
Well, you know, this is an important topic because money, greed has driven so much stress, politics, corruption, division throughout history and still today. Yeah, I've just read something this morning in the news that's saying our country's becoming a country of oligarchs and billionaires are taking over. And I thought, wow. And you talk about $70 trillion moving hands over the next 5 years and how a new level of consciousness is required to steward this, one rooted in love, heart coherence, and deeper connection to ourselves. How do you see this happening, the contrast, and what are the opportunities you see for this?
Yeah, it's such a profound moment in time in history that we find ourselves in. And we really are at the cusp of emerging into a new version of ourselves as humans. And, you know, we've come from historic consciousness of scarcity and resource extraction and competition. And this is what got us here. But more and more of us are becoming aware that what got us here is not going to get us there.
Right.
What do I mean by there? Well, the there is this evolutionary leap that we're all leaning into and feeling into. And this last few years has really rattled the cages of our humanity to really ask deep questions of, why are we really here? What's really going on? What is our purpose? And so as we're having this evolutionary shift as a species, we also see this in the form of wealth transfer occurring as $70+ trillion are moving hands from the boomer generation to millennials and Gen Zs. We're seeing in real time a different set of values that the next generation has as opposed to the previous generations. The previous generations had more of a hoarding or holding on to or a consumption-oriented consciousness, whereas if you look at the consumption habits of the next generation and the patterns, it is more around sustainability, regeneration. People care much more around health and wellness and experiences. So they're not just trying to, you know, out-yacht each other or, you know, buy more houses than they need. They're really looking at enriching the human experience itself. And so that in itself is indicative of a new consciousness that is being brought in through these deeper questions. And so to your point of like opportunities, where are opportunities for those of us who are helping steward this transfer of wealth? And really, the biggest opportunity I see is converging this financial data with health tech data. And when you bring those together and can see companies that are building solutions that both take into account financial wealth in conjunction with deeper health, whether that's mental health, emotional health, physical health, or spiritual health, that's the zone of opportunity because more and more humans are desiring a holistic way of existing, one that isn't just enriching their bank accounts, but enriching their souls. So if you are seeking a way to tap into this massive wealth transfer, and you who are listening might be entrepreneurial in nature, the opportunity for you is to innovate and create something that is going to help people connect back to their deeper self, help them ha have more mental health, emotional health, physical health, spiritual health, and use data as a force for good. Instead of doing what, some of the old social media algorithms and platforms have been doing, which is using the data as a way to sell you stuff you don't need, so that they can monetize their platforms. What if instead we use that data to help you show the areas of your life that you can improve and grow in? And then that also being a way in which you define your own wealth. And I love this notion that, wealth is defined by your health. And so, however you can measurably improve your mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual health is what's indicative of your wealth. And I think that's the big opportunity and the big shift that we're seeing with this wealth transfer, the wealth tsunami that's here.
Well, that's amazing. So what I hear you saying is that the doorway into transformation of consciousness of the financial paradigm is actually going to be through health, because that, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, that's a motivator for just about everybody. And as an individual, say I'm not an entrepreneur, a lot of, I am, of course, but a lot of people listening to this podcast are concerned about their health and they are looking for alternatives. And you look at what's happening in the news right now and the pushback of the health insurance companies. What do you see as an individual can do to facilitate this?
Yeah, this is great. Well, I think first and foremost is really looking at the relationship you have to yourself. How connected and how deeply are you holding yourself in a place of love and healing? And if we are living in a way in which we're not relating to ourselves in whole and healthy and connected, then that's the first area to look at. Because everything else, like the physical ailments we experience, are byproducts of deeper rooted issues inside of our emotional and our psyche and our consciousness. So I keep coming back to, consciousness is root cause. Our state of consciousness is the area in which we can transform our health. And the famous Einstein quote says, we cannot solve the problems with the same consciousness we use to create them. And so just similarly, well, with health is if we got ourselves into a situation that is not in our highest health, we need to have a revolution of thought. We need to have a revolution of consciousness to actually be able to understand something that was ununderstandable at the time. So that's more of, I'd say, an esoteric way that I'm looking at it is a deeper, more clarity seeking and understanding of relationship to self. But then also, I'd say, from a more macro trend perspective, what's exciting is, I speak about the boomer generation who amassed all of this wealth. Well, what's interesting is if you look at what they're doing with their wealth right now, is they're funding innovation in what they refer to as the longevity, human longevity space. So they're funding a lot of research and science in human longevity. Why? Well, because now that they're in their, 70s, 80s, 90s, they want to live longer and they have the money to fund ways to find ways to live longer. And so, that is a way also for us to see, like, what, there's one thing to live long, but what would it mean to live whole and live in love and live with true happiness. And what does that even mean? And I think, you know, if we can sort of influence some of this investment going into some science and research on the human longevity side of things, I would love to also see, you know, what are some ways that we can augment our human experience so that we can connect to a deeper purpose and a deeper mission and a deeper calling. Because as the proliferation of artificial intelligence, AI, continues to take main stage in our day-to-day reality, us humans are going to be really clamoring for a deeper sense of our purpose, because we won't be able to distract ourselves with meaningless work or time or tasks or busy work anymore. All of that will be automated. And so this is such a beautiful opportunity for us to really lean into that piece I talked about, the spiritual well-being. Like, what is the connection to our deeper self, our large self? And the other sort of, you know, trends I've noticed over the last, you know, 3 decades is, you know, if we look at the 2000s, the decade of the 2000s, really that was when the office jobs and the advent of the internet became mainstay. And so a lot of people became very sedentary, and people were always sitting. And so there was this big upswing in physical health awareness. So the 2010s was the decade of physical health awareness. So you saw things like the Atkins diet and South Beach diet and Jenny Craig. Like, you saw all of these sort of ways in which to optimize your physical health. Then the decade of the 2010s, which was right after the financial collapse of 2008, was really the decade of mental health awareness. So you saw, even in the government, they were implementing a lot of mental health awareness campaigns. And that was like a big sort of underpinning of the decade of the 2010 and beyond, around how do we deal with young people's mental health, the people that were so impacted from that financial collapse. And so then now the decade that we're in is the 2020s. And if you notice, really, this has been the decade of emotional health awareness. And after the pandemic, when people have felt so isolated and lonely, and you know, really asking questions of community, like, what does community mean to me? What does it mean to be in connection? And so there's been a lot of this, and it's also sparked sort of the I call it the trauma industry, which has a lot to do with our emotions and the way we've processed or not processed our emotions. And so where we're heading in 2030 is going to be the decade of spiritual health awareness. And so we're even for us who are having this conversation, and for those that are listening to this, you're already ahead of the curve, because, you know, we have 5 years to start reconnecting to our spiritual self. And what does that mean? I think that's a bigger rabbit hole we can go down. But I think, just to keep it simple, it's just the connection to our deeper self, the higher version of ourself, the self that occupies more than just time and space. And some call it soul, and you know, you can call it or relate to it however you wish, but the connection you have to that is going to be indicative of your spiritual health. How connected are to yourself, to those around you, and to the natural world, to nature? How in connection are you with nature? Because most of us have forgotten that we actually are nature. We're not separate from it. So the more we remember that, the more we commune and connect with nature, the more we are in connection with our spiritual self. And so these are some of the areas that I'm looking at and really, you know, asking and leaning into, for whether it's entrepreneurs or healers or investors. I think these are some of the fun and juicy conversations we can have to both bridge, you know, the ancient science and the ancient wisdoms and the codes, as well as what we're leaning into in the future with the automation of everything, and seeing how we're moving to a world of, you know, decentralized ledger currency, and where infinite data is accessible, and how we can use machine learning algorithms to actually help us identify that which we were not able to identify before. So I love nerding out on that stuff as well.
Yeah. Wow. So we have all sorts of forces happening. We have the future potentials you're talking about for evolution of human consciousness. We have the current situation where it looks like billionaires are taking over politics in many countries for their own benefit. We have people with serious mental, emotional, traumatic health problems. And we have people who are desperate and people who are looking and waking up, as you're saying, the people waking up to say there's got to be something different. So how do we effectively measure the impact of financial investments? You're a financial advisor in the consciousness innovation space. What metrics are most telling to facilitate this acceleration of human consciousness?
Yeah, that is such a great question. So, well, then this brings it back to the great work that HeartMath and you have all been doing for decades. You know, if I was to look at simplifying how to associate financial impact in relation to measurably raising human consciousness, you are in a more coherent state of your being, which is closer to wholeness. So that is a state that is indicative of a higher state of consciousness, because now your awareness has expanded beyond the three-dimensional of, oh, I'm triggered by this person, I feel like I'm being threatened by this email, whatever the day-to-day symptoms that our nervous system might be experiencing as threats is because we're in a lower frequency. And so that's, I think, one of the biggest key indicators for now that we can look at. And you guys have done such amazing research around this. Maybe there's like less crime, maybe there's less violence, maybe there's, you know, more healing that's occurring, maybe there's miracles, who knows what's happening. So that's one of the key areas that I'm really excited about for now. But I think as we continue to evolve and are able to look at biometric feedback and biometric data, whether it's through wearable technology or whatever innovations we're coming into in the next few years, and then applying evolutionary algorithms to that biometric data and feedback to begin helping us see that which we wouldn't normally be able to see about ourselves, that's really huge. And I give this analogy as well, and not to hate on the social media platforms, but, you know, if you think about it, really, they've been developing algorithms that are looking at and assessing our, as Carl Jung would call it, our shadow. They're looking at our ego, and then they are creating ads or content that are going to continue to mine our attention so that we can stay longer on the platform so they can increase their ad revenue. And if you just look at that in its bare facts, it's not in the highest interest of humanity or consciousness. So what if we flip the switch and instead of these algorithms mining our attention to find our shadow and ego and then speak to that, what if instead we were able to use this data and technology to help us identify and see our shadow and see our ego and see the aspects of ourself that are unhealed, that are not operating from a place of unconditional love? And then once we look at those, we're able to apply things like, you know, the HeartMath protocols or other modalities that allow us to move into states of wholeness. I think that's, and then once, if we're operating or helping intervene at that level of human consciousness or human health, then all the other problems we're trying to solve, whether it's poverty or politic corruption or racism or, you know, climate or change or whatever the sort of bigger stemming issues that we believe we want to deal with, well, let's first deal with our inner climate. Let's deal with the climate change inside of us and tend to that so that we can actually now come to the situation externally with a higher state of consciousness that gives us access to intuition and innovation that we may not have previously had, because we're still reflecting a reality that's distorted based on some of our own inner work that we haven't done yet.
Wow, well said. So how do you see us connecting the dots, this transfer of wealth? How do you see us reaching the younger generations who are going to receive this wealth and helping them understand what you're trying to say? You know, again, I don't know if it's a PR challenge, but there's so much feeling that the world is desperate, and they feel desperate and don't see a future. How do we reach them? What do you see?
Yeah, that's, you know, and maybe this is my naivety in play, but I feel like they are already seeking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a matter of us trying to cast a wide net and wheel them in. I feel like this is an emergent phenomena that's already happening. And our work is actually to emanate the frequencies. And if we look at money as just energy, both the money itself is looking for a new conduit to move through, because money itself is an organism with its own consciousness. And the next generation of humans who are stewarding this capital, you know, they're already also, if they themselves are the stewards and the inheritors of this capital and will be deploying it and using it as a way to continue to grow our civilization, then our job is really to do our work and continue to do and heal whatever we need to do internally to ourselves, because we are kind of the bridge. And so they're looking for people and voices and you know, that aren't distorted, that aren't just, you know, putting this horrible analogy, but putting lipstick on a pig and, you know, calling it, oh, well, we are ESG impact investing, so, you know, come put your money with us. And like, I think people are catching on that a lot of these tropes that are being used as ways of positive impact aren't necessarily positive impact. They're just there to take advantage of this generation and these generations that are asking these questions. So I'd say it's less of a PR thing. I think it's already happening. I think it's leaning into it, and I think it's doing the things that you're doing in terms of holding events like Love Unleashed and having these conversations and continuing to emanate these frequencies, because it's like, it's resonance. And so if we continue to put the, you know, just drop our little pebble into our inner ocean, then that the ripple of that pebble will continue to emanate. And so, you know, those that are seeking are already communing, and we're coming together just like us. We're coming together because we're connected, and we know that we're serving something that's greater than our lifetime, right? Where that's the other thing, I think people are realizing that we used to only think in a maybe 100-year time scale, because that's what our mind could orient to. But what happens if you stretch that out to 1,000-year time scale? What, how do you actually start looking at your own decisions? And I think when more and more people do this because they've expanded their awareness, then we're all finding each other. And again, maybe I sound super woo-woo when I'm saying that, but it's just, it's the magic. That's where the magic is. It's not as much in the three-dimensional matter versus matter kind of thing. It is in energy informing matter. So we must inform our own energy with a higher state of consciousness that then informs the matter and the way the reality distortion field shows up in front of us.
Boy, that's really well said. It's all about the energetics and the frequency. That's what's going to lift consciousness. And that's certainly what we're researching now at HeartMath. And that's exciting. So let's do a heart meditation on this together, that we can all join in.
Yeah.
Put out more of that heart coherent love and compassion and care and the qualities that increase our heart rate variability coherence, and put that into the energetic field so we can help lift consciousness of each other and humanity. So let's focus our attention in the heart and just breathe in love and get still in our hearts. As we breathe out, radiate that love into your mental, emotional, and physical systems. As you do this, see your heart rhythms, your HRV, your brain rhythms, your emotions, your spirit, all aligning in harmony and coherence. Now let's radiate that heartfelt love into the energetic field, into the planetary field. And see it increasing our resonance with like-minded, like-hearted people, and creating a stronger energetic field of love and heart energy on the planet. Now let's each of us envision ourselves increasing our practice of heart alignment, heart attunement in our day-to-day lives. And see yourself listening to your heart's intuitive guidance on your next steps or changes you want to make to increase your sense of purpose, health, and well-being. And take a moment to make a commitment to follow through on at least one thing your heart's intuitive guidance is suggesting you do. This podcast launches in January of the new year. What is your heart guidance for the new year and the new you? Now let's radiate our collective love and heart energy to all people and nations on the planet suffering from political divisiveness, trauma, wars, natural disasters, and other major stressors. And see this as helping us wake up to our purpose and evolutionary potential. And let's close now by radiating and co-creating together a reservoir of loving heart energy that each of us can tap into over the next month whenever we need a lift in spirit, an elevation of frequency, or more support to follow our heart's intuitive guidance. Thank you all for sharing that with me. Gordy, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think that meditation right there was just sublime and beautiful. And I think that's it.
Well, thank you for being with us today and being so inspiring and helping reignite hope and clarity for people. You know, as a free gift to our listeners, I want to remind you that you can watch the Interactive HeartMath Experience online video course. It's free. It's available on the HeartMath websites. And it will give you an overview of heart rate variability and HeartMath and our mission in the world. And if you haven't done so already, check out the new HeartMath app with a camera sensor that measures your HRV. You can download it at the App Store or Google Play Stores. And I also want to remind you that the third Tuesday of every month, we publish a new episode of the At Heart podcast. So be sure you subscribe so you don't miss our next guest and topic. Take care. And thank you so much, Gordy. And thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the At Heart podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you can catch the latest episodes. If you're wanting even more heart-inspired content, find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Look for HeartMath and also the HeartMath Institute. Both organizations are committed to helping activate the heart of humanity.